This is All Things Considered on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Electric vehicles are not quite mainstream yet, but the price of one model, the Chevy Bolt, is dropping to a more accessible range. We've talked about electric vehicles with Granite Geek David Brooks before, but we're going to do it again because David was lucky enough to test drive one of these. David is a reporter for the Concord Monitor, and he writes this week that there is a learning curve for driving these electric vehicles. David, first of all, welcome back to All Things Considered.
I'm always delighted to be here.
So about that learning curve, what does that mean exactly? What behaviors have we learned as drivers of gasoline-dependent cars that we would have to unlearn as drivers of electric cars?
Well, and what I said, by the way, in the column is that the learning curve is, you know, less intimidating than you might think.
Okay.
In fact, to a certain extent, you could almost do it so there's no learning curve. So the Bolt, like a number of other electric cars, has a couple of different options in the way you can drive it. And you can set one type of settings in which it's very much like driving a normal car. You put a foot on the gas. Everybody still calls it the gas.
Quote, unquote,
and you
gas
go forward. You take your foot off the gas. You roll. You put your foot on the brake. You stop. The only thing you really would notice is that because it's an electric engine, it has much better acceleration. But you can put it in other kinds of modes in which you can use battery regeneration, in which the power from the slowing vehicle repowers the battery. And you can use that as a substitute for brakes. And that is a little weird. And when you first start doing it, you can drive it with just a single pedal. You can never take your foot off the gas pedal. You can lift it on and off the gas pedal. You don't even have to touch the brake. That's a little weird and takes some getting used to.
How much of a drain are things like the radio and the AC and the digital screen?
But it's a fair amount. In fact, one of the things that the Bolt has, again, I think most electric cars have this, is it'll give you a lot of data about that stuff. You can go to the big screen in the middle and change the settings, and it'll tell you. So the drive I did, it was last week when it was so brutally hot, and I drove it for like a half an hour, and 20% of the electricity we used was just for to keep the cabin cool. So that's kind of the equivalent of like cutting your range down by a quarter, by a fifth. You have to think about that more in an electric car than you would in a gasoline-powered car. A gas-powered car has so much extra energy that it almost wastes it into, you know, electronics are almost irrelevant. I mean, air conditioning does reduce your gas mileage, but not vastly. So that is also part of the learning curve, is you need to keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. And the weather's warm right now, but when it's cold, our gasoline engines give off some of their energy as heat. They lose some energy as heat, which we use to keep us warm inside the car. Can an electric vehicle do that?
Yeah, electric vehicles are actually affected more by the cold than the heat, which is kind of backwards. So a gas engine tends to have its range affected more by air conditioning than by heat, but it's kind of the other way around for an electric car. Heating an electric car in the winter is a real drain. I actually didn't get into this in the column. I have a friend who has a car, and he says, you know, when it was really cold weeks, his range was reduced by a good third or more. And there are tricks to do that, including hooking into what they call shore power. I mentioned staying hooked in at the last possible minute while you're heating up the car. You can program it so it starts up before you get in it and heats itself up while it's still hooked into the house. So it's real toasty before you've ever unplugged it. And that will reduce, you know, the amount you need to do from the battery. So there are tricks like that. But it's probably the biggest thing that you have to think of that's different in an electric car than a gas car.
And, of course, if you're driving the Chevy Bolt, you have to keep range in mind. It's got a 200-mile charge,
roughly. I mean, it depends, plus or minus. 237 is like the stated maximum. 170 is not unreasonable. Somewhere in there, in between there, which is a lot. But, you know, you can't go down to, you know, Springfield, Mass and back without thinking twice about it.
Right. And as we've discussed before on this program, I mean, Tesla has the charging stations up and down in various locations. The Chevy Bolt doesn't necessarily have that, and it does take some time to charge these things up.
GM has not put the money that Tesla has into building the charging stations. They're starting to show up here and there, but they're nowhere near. I mean, that's really one of the huge advantages for Tesla. A Tesla owner. And the Bolt also charges, even at maximum charge, it's slower to recharge than a Tesla. So you have to spend more time if you're doing a long distance trip and you want to stop and recharge. So those are all problems. But, you know, many vehicles have problems. You buy a pickup and you can't park it half the time. And you buy a little tiny car and you can't drive it in the snow because it's too low. And so no vehicle is perfect. And this has just got sort of different trade-offs that we're not used to thinking about.
But you had a chance to test drive it. So tell me, like, did driving this car make you feel like more of these cars can easily be on the horizon?
Yeah, you know, the stereotypical grandmother could get into this and drive it just fine, and it wouldn't weird her out. It's a nice little car. It's a nice little hatchback, and it's got all the bells and whistles that you'd expect. It's gotten quite good reviews from all the car guys, quote unquote, who've tested it over the last few months. So the question is whether, you know, the money makes sense. Around 40 grand, that's not, you know, chump change. And 200 miles is great, but it's not, you know, the 400 miles you're kind of used to being able to think of on a full tank of gas. But I think the reason I did the test drive is I think it's the first combination of price and range that could appeal to a larger portion of the mass audience. There'll be some other cars coming out, notably the Tesla 3, that might match it. But for the moment, it stands alone, and that's kind of cool.
All right, David, thank you very much.
You bet.
That's David Brooks. He's a reporter for the Concord Monitor and the writer who regenerates his own geekiness even as he uses it at graniteGeek.org.